WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Thursday, April 1, 3, 2017, we've got a loaded hour of sports talk in store for all of our listeners out there. And hey, have you heard? Yeah, there will be a pretty big announcement happening in about 5 hours from now on the campus of Michigan State University from the one, the only freshman star, Miles Bridges, who will be making an announcement to Michigan State University men's basketball fans. I kid you not, this news just came through around 12:15-ish. Miles Bridges tweeted out a picture saying, hey, I've got something to say. Meet me at the Sparty statue at 6 p.m. All signs right now are pointing to Miles Bridges coming back for a sophomore campaign in the green and white uniform. How crazy is that, right? This team is going to be really, really good next year. We'll chat about that press conference coming down the pike again at 6 p.m. We'll talk about that. Also, get this, a fourth Michigan State University football player is now involved in a sexual misconduct investigation. So we'll talk about that breaking news as well as Miles Bridges holding this 6 p.m. press conference. Well, not a press conference. It's really an announcement to the Michigan State fan base. We will talk about those two stories with Chris Solari, Michigan State beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. Chris will join us on the show to address both of those stories. On the back end of the show, we will talk about the first round of the NBA playoffs set in stone. Is it shocking that LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers are not the number one seed in the NBA's Eastern Conference? We will talk about that. We will also have Throwback Thursday for you as we take a look at what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history. Again, as we always do, as customarily here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM, we will take your calls all the way up until the top of the hour. If you want to be a part of the fun, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also join the conversation via social media at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR at WKAR underscore sports. So much to get to. As you just heard, a loaded show. Let me stop wasting time. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. We start with news concerning the Holt baseball team. Actually, Scott Pohl, our very own Scott Pohl here at WKAR, he posted this story this morning onto our WKAR.org website. Varsity and junior varsity coaches at Holt High School have been placed on administrative leave while an investigation is conducted into allegations involving a recent trip to Florida. Now, in an emailed appearance in the district, Holt Superintendent David Hornack says assistant volunteer coaches are included in the action. During the review, no further details are being released. It's unclear if the action means Holt is canceling or forfeiting baseball games during the investigation. We will be following that story, and if we find out more details, especially throughout this hour, we will, of course, bring them to you. But again, varsity and junior varsity baseball coaches at Holt High School have been placed on administrative leave while an investigation is conducted into allegations involving a recent trip down south to Florida. All right, folks. As I just noted at the top of the hour, Miles Bridges. This is breaking news. The highly touted 6'7" freshman forward who averaged 16.9 points per game, 8.3 rebounds per game, a little over 2 assists per game for the Spartans last year, Miles Bridges will be making an announcement at the Sparty statue here on the campus of Michigan State University at 6 p.m. How exciting is that, right? All signs are pointing toward Miles Bridges coming back next year. And he actually sent out a tweet at 12:17 p.m. today. And there's a flyer of Miles pumping his fist. And in the background, he's like slapping high fives with the Spartan fan base. And it says, meet me at Sparty tonight at 6 p.m. So this is open to the public, outdoors, in front of the Sparty statue. He says, quote, I've got something to say. It's not about me. It's about us. Yeah. Miles Bridges is coming back, folks. Let's just keep it real here. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Pushing forward in a much different mood here when it comes to this story. According to Chris Solari of the Detroit Free Press, who will join us in just a moment here on our airwaves, a fourth Michigan State University football player is under investigation for criminal sexual misconduct. And that player is, of course, suspended from the program. Scott Hughes, a spokesman for the Ingham County Prosecutor's Office, said the ongoing investigation is into the unidentified football player's role in an alleged incident in Meridian Township, which is right next to East Lansing. No charges have been recommended to prosecutors, and the case has not yet been filed in court, Hughes said. We'll chat with Chris Solari of the Freep about that story as well. Yesterday, more MSU football news. Michigan State football received its fifth commitment for the 2018 football recruiting class when three-star linebacker Edward Warner committed to the Spartans. Warner checks in at 6'1", 222, and is ranked by rivals as the 42nd player in the state of Ohio. He had offers from Boston College, Cincinnati, the old stomping grounds of head coach Mark D'Antonio, UCF, and West Virginia, among others as well. Michigan State softball was able to knock off Michigan State 5-1 last night behind Wolverine right-handed pitcher Megan Besta's 17 Ks. The Spartans were only able to manage four hits against the dominant righty, and their lone run was driven in by center fielder Leah Forrester. Now, Michigan was led by junior right fielder Aiden Falk, who went two for three from the plate, drove in three runs. Natalie Peters also chipped in three hits from the leadoff spot. Spartans' next game will take place at Davenport University due to bad playing conditions at Sekia Stadium. MSU will take on the Fighting Illini at 4 p.m. All right, the Michigan State baseball team will open a three-game series today against Ohio State. The Spartans are coming off a 2-1 defeat at the hands of Notre Dame on Tuesday, while Ohio State will be looking to rebound from their 3-1 loss to Eastern Michigan yesterday afternoon. First pitch for today's game is set for 3:05 p.m. with games also at 1:05 p.m. Friday and Saturday, respectively, to follow. And how about the Detroit Tigers?
1-2. Driven deep to right field. Trap. Wall. Grand slam.
Andrew Romine's fourth inning grand slam sparked a 5-3 Detroit Tigers victory over the Minnesota Twins yesterday. The grand slam also made a winner out of Michael Fulmer, last year's AL Rookie of the Year. Fulmer, who didn't have his best stuff, but was able to make the most of the day, pitching six innings with 17 Ks, three runs given up. The Tigers are 6-2 in the very young MLB year, and they will face the Twins again today in about a minute. Actually, 15 seconds from now. First pitch, 1:10 p.m., Jay-Z, Jordan Zimmermann will take the mound for the Tigers against Twins pitcher Phil Hughes. A season that began with optimism ends with unanswered questions for the Detroit Pistons in their last game of the year. The Pistons lost 113-109 to the Orlando Magic on the road. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, KCP, scored 20 points on the night. And Drummond added 9 points and 14 rebounds.
Smith leads the fast break. Drummond on the line.
But Orlando Magic point guard Elfried Payton made the game-clinching plays late in the game. He hit 3 consecutive shots in the last 72 seconds to seal the win. The loss pushed the Pistons at 37-45 on the year. That's horrible. They sit at the 12th spot for the upcoming NBA draft, although that could change come NBA draft lottery time. And last, the final night of the NBA regular season wrapped up last night, and now the fun begins. This Saturday, the first round of the NBA playoffs begins with the Cleveland Cavaliers taking on the Indiana Pacers. The Cleveland Cavaliers, the second seed in the East, a bit surprising, followed by the Toronto Raptors versus the Milwaukee Bucks. The Western Conference nightcap concludes on that day, the San Antonio Spurs against the Memphis Grizzlies and also the LA Clippers against the Utah Jazz. More playoff action will resume on Sunday, beginning with the Washington Wizards playing the Atlanta Hawks. Then the Golden State Warriors will match up with the Portland Trail Blazers, a rematch of their second round matchup last season. Then the Boston Celtics, the one seed in the East, will take on the Chicago Bulls, followed by the Houston Rockets and the Oklahoma City Thunder in a battle of top MVP candidates. That's going to be must-see TV. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to be a part of the show, you know that number. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Without further ado, let's start the show.
Okay, Miles, what was the difference down the stretch that allowed Kansas to be able to pull away?
We didn't rebound the ball well at the end. We weren't in the help side for each other, and they just got going, so we couldn't stop them after that.
We see the ice on your hip there. Can you tell us what happened and how you're feeling?
I just got elbowed. I don't know which player elbowed me, but I couldn't move. I couldn't jump right. It kind of affected me throughout the game, but I'm not going to use any excuses.
Why did you guys struggle so much getting the rebound?
They're trained to offensive rebound, wedge people out, and we didn't do a good job of being physical.
Sure. When you look at this team, and there's been so much talk about the youth and against their experience, do you think that really did play a factor in the game?
Yeah, their guards, they're really experienced. They know when to take the right shots. Frank Mason, Devontae Graham, they're really good players, and they kind of sealed the deal for them at the end.
Of course, getting to play against Josh, your friend, what was that like, and how good did he play tonight?
Yeah, it's always a great experience. He made his shots. His jumper got way better from when we were in high school, but it's always good for us because we always compete against each other.
This was your first experience in the NCAA tournament. Do you expect to have more experiences in the NCAA tournament?
I just expect on enjoying my seniors right now and talking it over with my family and my coach.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, it's time to party, Spartan fans. What you just heard was a snippet from last month. You guys know what happened. March 19th of this year, Michigan State University, the men's basketball team, was eliminated from the NCAA tournament at the hands of the Kansas Jayhawks. A 90-70 loss for the Spartans. And almost immediately on the minds of media who cover the team and fans alike, would Miles Bridges, the clear-cut star for this team, would he be willing to come back for a sophomore campaign and possibly give another run at a national championship. So many things occurred in his freshman season, which included an injury. But even before the ball was tipped to start this year, Ben Carter went down and Gavin Schilling went down. We also saw a player in Josh Langford go down. All of that led to a lot of minutes on the wheels of Miles Bridges. And eventually, you know, you started to hear the chatter whether or not this team would even make the NCAA tourney with the streak finally in for Tom Izzo. They eventually got in the dance, got past the first round with a 20-point win over Miami, and then they lose by 20 points against Kansas. But folks, fear no more. Because we've had this debate here on the show, and I have gone on the record multiple times to say that Miles Bridges is gone. Miles Bridges, if he did not go to the NBA, he would be turning down an estimated $4 million as a projected lottery pick in this summer's draft. Well, folks, again, if you haven't heard, Miles Bridges tweeted out on his Twitter account, along with the eyeball emojis, he tweeted out a flyer that says, quote, "Meet me at Sparty tonight at 6 p.m. I've got something to say. It's not about me. It's about us." Folks, all signs point to yes, Miles Bridges will be coming back for a sophomore season. Go ahead and party it up, folks. This is fantastic news. Fantastic news, because now you look at the makeup of this squad, right? This is a team that when you evaluate the roster right now with Miles Bridges on it, this is a team that will be one of the favorites to win and compete for a national championship next season. I want to hear your thoughts on this news. What do you think Miles Bridges is going to say tonight at 6 p.m.? And will you be there? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Heck, let's take a call right now, because I know a lot of folks are ecstatic about this news. Again, Miles hasn't come out and officially said, yo, I'm coming back, and I kind of joked. I just threw out a joke before we hit the air. Wouldn't it be funny, though? It would be. Okay, Spartan fans wouldn't find this funny, but there may be a few sick minds out there that do. Wouldn't it be funny, though, if Miles Bridges decided to hold this presser? Isaac, wouldn't this be funny if Miles Bridges decided, hey, meet me at Sparty, I've got something to say. And he goes up there and throws up two peace signs and says, yo, I'm chucking up the deuces, baby. It's been real. It's been fun, but I'm gone.
Take a book out of one of the greatest pages in the, or take a page out of one of the greatest books ever to play in the NBA. Throw LeBron. Because if you remember when LeBron did that, right, he did it from his hometown of Akron, Ohio.
Yeah.
The Boys and Girls Club. Everybody was so excited, because if he's hosting it in Akron, where is he going? Cleveland. Obviously. Exactly. He's going to Cleveland. And,
that's
of course,
true.
He's taking his talents to South Beach. But this one has a little bit different of a feel, you've got to say. It's not a 60-minute-long ESPN special.
Yeah.
It's about us, after all.
For sure. And, yeah, that's a very good point, because that's when LeBron James became the most hated man in Ohio, and one of the most hated men in NBA history, right, when he went on and held the decision, the hour-long special, will LeBron return? And he eventually said, I'm taking my talents to Miami. I don't think Miles isn't built like that. Miles is again, all signs are pointing to Miles Bridges coming back. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Heck, let's take a call right now. Let's go to line one. We've got Luke from Grand Rapids that wants to chime in about this conversation. Luke, how are you doing, my friend, and welcome to Current Sports.
Well, first off, Al, you're making my heart drop by joking about that.
Jeez, I'm just joking. You know, I gotta throw in a joke or two every single day I'm here on the air. I'm just having fun. Miles, it looks like he's coming back, though, Luke. I'm joking. Totally joking here.
Well, I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. It's a great show. First off, you guys should have played Tell Me Something Good as the opening track there. I mean, this is good news for Spartan Nation.
It is.
Al, I just wanted to hear your thoughts on who you think, whether it's a person or multiple people, that really impacted Miles' decision to come back, if he's coming back, which we're assuming he's come back. Who was it? Was it his family? Was it his teammates? Was it Izzo? Was it the fans? Who do you think really made the impact of him to make this decision?
Well, for me, I look at how this whole process took place, and you better believe that Miles Bridges certainly did his due diligence in talking with Coach Izzo, like Coach Izzo does every year. When he has a highly touted player that is possibly a first-round pick, Tom, he makes sure that he talks to NBA executives, he talks to scouts, he talks to reporters about what the draft stock of a Miles Bridges is going to be like. Now, when it comes down to the decision, Luke, Miles let it be known that he was going to sit down with two people, his mother and Tom Izzo. That's it. I was very shocked because I don't know what the family dynamic is of Miles Bridges, but I saw an interview, which you have probably seen by now, Luke. Fran Heumann, sports director at WLNS-TV6, stole an interview with Miles Bridges' dad. I don't know how close they are, and again, I question how close they are, seeing as though Miles went on record to say it's just going to be myself, Coach Izzo, and my mother in making this decision. And then the article came out in which Chris Solari talked with the mother of Miles Bridges, and what did Miles Bridges' mom say? She said the decision would be easy if it was her. I'm going to the NBA. I really think that when it comes down to this decision, Miles, and I mentioned this earlier on in the week, Miles has been talking with former Spartans, right? Former players who have played on this team. Probably picked the brain of a Draymond Green. Probably picked the brain of a Gary Harris, who decided to come back for his sophomore year. Probably picked the brain of Spartan greats in the past to really get in his ear about the possibilities that could come to fruition if this young man decides to come back for at least another season. I really think it was the great Spartans of the past that really got in his ear and convinced him. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff at the wall right now, Luke.
And now another name I'd bring up is Josh Langford. And this is pure speculation, but let's not forget that Miles Bridges and Josh Langford together went and checked out high school prospects, potential recruits, together. When Miles was making this decision, right after the elimination against Kansas, they went to check out Michigan high school basketball playoffs. That says something about a guy, a friendship, a commitment to the program. That was the one thing that always kind of kept me fettered into thinking that maybe Miles Bridges does stay with this team, despite all of the signs pointing oppositely. Maybe he does. And I think Josh Langford and Miles are very close. I think that played a part.
Lou, did you think he was coming back? Be real with me.
Honestly, Al, I think if there was one player that would make this move in this modern basketball era we live in, Miles Bridges was going to be the person to do it. Based off of his character, now I don't know him personally, but based off his character, the way he plays, he holds himself, if there was the slightest chance, it was going to be him over anybody else. But I mean, in our modern world today, when you pass up that money, like you said, it's still amazing to hear. Hey, we need some good news in the world today. So this is a little bit of a bright spot in Spartan Nation.
You can say that again. Luke, great call, and thanks so much for calling in and listening as well. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Keep it up.
You got it, my friend. And when you look at this also, you know, Miles Bridges also is a player that I really believe just enjoys also the college experience so much. You know, another thing stood out to me when I was, like many media members, stalking the social media page, the Twitter page of Miles Bridges, something stood out to me. You guys remember last week when we had that whole snowstorm fiasco that cleared up later on in the day? Miles tweeted out how frustrated he was about the weather because it was impeding his ability to get to class. That sounds like a man who was very invested in his academic future. I've heard from multiple people that know Miles Bridges here on campus and fellow players alike on the team that speak to how much fun Miles Bridges is having in just his freshman year here at Michigan State. He is enjoying the college experience so much that also played a huge factor in this, again, assumed decision that he will be coming back. And I also want to make this point. I don't want to rain on the parade here, but so many times, Isaac, and this is going on the other side of this thing, I always thought about this moment as well. When we saw Aaron Harris go down with that knee injury earlier on in the season on the road at Purdue. And I watched the reaction of Miles Bridges. I mean, Miles Bridges broke down in tears when Aaron Harris went down with that knee injury. And you see Aaron scream, and he had to be rolled off the basketball court in pain, and the realization hitting Aaron that he would no longer play collegiate basketball for Michigan State University. I thought seeing that injury, and I'm pretty sure it did have such a profound impact on him, and him realizing that, man, sports is so fragile. You are just an injury away. And considering the fact that Miles Bridges also had an injury earlier on in the Michigan State men's basketball year, I just thought to myself, man, and seeing something like that and going through an injury in your freshman season, I don't know why Miles Bridges would turn down guaranteed money at the next level. But I commend him for this because he is going with his intuition here. And it shows you just how bad he wants to have success at the college level. It shows you how competitive this young man is. And he constantly, you know, Miles Bridges is from Flint. You know, the Flintstones, the last team to win a national championship here at Michigan State University. He talks to Mateen Cleaves and Charlie Bell and company, Morris Peterson. He knows that history. He wants to win a national championship. So why not give it another go? On the flip side, though, I do look at it and say, man, you are just an injury away, dude. It's sports. You just never know what's going to happen. Knock on wood. This is great news, but knock on wood. I just hope that this young man doesn't have a serious injury in his sophomore campaign. But barring injury, he's going to have a great year. He is such a great talent. We saw how good he is in his freshman year. He's only going to get better. His ceiling is so high. He already has an NBA body. He's got to work on the dribble drive. He's got to work on his weak hand. And there are some things he's got to work on. But at the same time, this is a dude right now that's projected as a lottery pick in many people's mock drafts. Just imagine him coming back for another season. And you combine that now. Can we just take a peek at the roster for next year as well? At center, you'll probably have – I mean, I'm just going off the top of the dome here. I'm just kind of looking at the roster now and kind of predicting it for next season. At center, you're probably going to have Nick Ward. You look at power forward, I'm hearing so many good things about Jaren Jackson Jr. and how freakishly talented he is. I actually saw him play in that game for La Lumiere about, 2 weeks ago on Saturday morning and watched him lead his team to a boys basketball championship. The kid is awesome. He can play. He could possibly work himself into that starting lineup, I believe. A small forward, you know, that's set in stone. Miles Bridges now would not have to do too much now. He can actually play that small forward position without having to do and play a power forward or a quasi-center position as well. He will be a true small forward now if he decides to come back. At shooting guard, you're probably going to have Josh Langford, a player who came along a lot, especially near the last few weeks of the regular season for Michigan State. Point guard, this is interesting. I think that, you know, don't get me wrong, I love Tum Tum. He's a leader of the team. Tum is great, but Cassius, it has such a tremendous upside. Just imagine a sophomore Cassius Winston. I don't see Tum Tum starting over Cassius Winston next year. But just imagine that. I mean, you're going to have guards coming off the bench like Matt McQuaid, Tum Tum, Kyle Arnes, big men off the bench. We assume that Gavin Schilling is going to come back, right? You get Kenny Goins coming off the bench, and oh, yeah. There's this dude who got actually more first-place votes when it comes to the whole Michigan Mr. Basketball selection than Isaiah Livers. Don't get me wrong. I love Isaiah Livers. He's a great player. But I thought they should have gave it to Xavier Tillman. Xavier Tillman will also be on that Michigan State men's basketball roster next year. That is a winning roster, folks. Oh, getting chills just thinking about it, Isaac. It's going to be a fun time next year for Spartan basketball fans.
It really will. And Xavier Tillman, I've said before, he's Nick Ward reincarnated as a freshman, a year younger, in my opinion. I think the two are really so similar in terms of their play style, their body type, all of that stuff. What I think also drew Miles Bridges back, and it's connection to teammates, all of that, but let's keep it candid like capitalism, because it's as simple as, even though you mentioned the $4 million he's missing out on, and that's true. His rookie year, he's really foregoing a lot of money. Thing is, though, this is one of the deepest NBA draft classes in NBA history. Let's not mistake it for anything else. You've got Malik Monk, an incredible scoring guard for Kentucky, who might go 10th, 9th, something like that. Miles Bridges probably in this draft will have gone towards the end of the lottery, 13th or 14th I'm talking about. Whereas in an average draft class, even in a good draft class, this is a guy who goes 6th or 7th. So if Miles stays another year, waits out the storm and all of that, he could actually improve his draft stock significantly and improve on a few of those things you mentioned, such as the offhand, the drive and kick, those parts of his games that as a 6'7 small forward, teams will need to see for them to pick him up.
Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with Chris Solari, Michigan State beat reporter for the Detroit Free Press. We'll get Chris's response to the whole Miles Bridges announcement that will take place at 6 p.m. at the Sparty statue. We will also dive into a fourth Michigan State University football player involved in a sexual misconduct investigation. That and more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Let's get to our guest for today's show. And I know he's pressed on time, so let's get right to him. His name is Chris Solari, dear friend of our airwaves, Michigan State beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. First off, Chris, how you doing, my man? Happy Thursday.
Hi, Al. Happy Easter weekend, and happy Thursday. It feels like a Monday.
Yeah, it really does, Chris. So let's dive right into it. You saw the tweet from Miles Bridges that occurred at 12:17, attached with a flyer in which he announced that he will be making some sort of announcement at 6 p.m. in front of the Sparty statue. Chris, all signs pointing to Bridges coming back?
Yeah, I think so. And I had heard people saying that that could be a possibility all the way back to January. And when I did a story on Miles back then, you know, he was very hesitant to talk about it. He wanted to focus solely on Michigan State's team and season and didn't want to think about it until after the season. So I don't think anything of that changed. I think, you know, when I talked to his mom at the end of March, it sounded like from her perspective, she thought it was an easy decision, which in some ways, you know, if you're not the one making the decision, which she's involved in, let's be clear, his mom, Tom Izzo, and Miles Bridges are the three people who were going to be involved in making that decision. I do believe that Miles Bridges is a different guy. And we've kind of seen that over the course of the year. You know, I keep going back to October of 2015 when he was at Huntington Prep and he didn't announce via tweet. He didn't announce via some overly produced video where he was going to make his college choice. He came back to his hometown of Flint. Mm-hmm. And he was in Mott Community College Gymnasium, surrounded by friends, surrounded by family, surrounded by a lot of people from Flint and Michigan State, and made the decision to go to MSU. That's just who he is. And I think that when you start thinking about some of the things that Miles Bridges has done in his young life, he played 1 year in high school at Flint, and then at his mother's urging, went away to Huntington Prep and stayed there for 3 years. This is the first stability he's had in his home state. And I think that you can tell that Flint meant a lot to him. You can tell that Michigan State meant a lot to him. And you could tell that legacy meant a lot to him because he could have done that remotely, but he decided to come home for that. And I think that that's now you're looking at what's happening tonight, the chance to do something really special, I think. And, you know, he's not having a traditional press conference. He's not doing a video. He's not doing a tweet. He's inviting everybody to Sparty at 6 p.m. That's it. If anything specifies the uniqueness of Miles Bridges, I think the announcement and the way it's being handled, I think he's a pretty interesting and special and different guy. And I do think that there's a chance that you know, let's say he does come back, which I think is, you know, I'd probably put that, I've flipped now from 90-10 that he would leave back in January all the way to probably now about 99-1 that he is going to stay.
Yeah.
I do believe that you know, you're talking about a watershed moment in Michigan State history, and at a time when Michigan State really needs something positive to revolve around. I mean, I was talking with a colleague today, and I said, right now with all the bad news going on around Michigan State, Miles Bridges is kind of like Michigan State's Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's the only hope, and you know, it's really, you know, it's a really unique thing. It'll be, I think, a special time over there tonight at Sparty Statue.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what the atmosphere is like over there, Chris. And to go back to what you just stated, when it comes to those involved in helping him make this decision, I mean, as you noted, Chris, I mean, he let it be known that it was going to be between three people: himself, Tom Izzo, and his mother. Now, I know there was an interview that was done by Fred Heumann at Channel 6 News with his father, and his dad went on record to say, I think Miles needs to come back. I don't know what his dynamic is like when it comes to his pops, but taking all that into account, and especially when his mom said, you know, I think it would be an easy decision. I mean, I would go. What do you think swayed him to come back, Chris?
I think exactly what I was saying and alluding to, the chance of legacy. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, he was at his announcement of coming to Michigan State, and out in the audience was Antonio Smith. And he's heard from Mateen Cleaves and Morris Peterson and all those guys that are legends in Flint coming up, Charlie Bell. All those guys know Miles Bridges, and they've all brought him along in that similar vein, and that legacy matters, that you know, you can have one thing on your resume, a national championship in the state of Michigan, in your home state, and it can be the single biggest blessing of your life. I think there's something to be said about that. I think he is very acutely aware of legacy, and I don't think a second round exit from the NCAA tournament was the legacy he wanted to leave.
Next question here. This actually is one that I'm looking at our Facebook live feed here, and a few of our listeners want to know, and that's a great segue into my next question. What do you think will happen now with the decisions of Bowen and McCoy?
It's a good question. I mean, you know, and then you can add Mark Smith into that as well.
Mm-hmm.
That Miles Bridges comes back. We still haven't heard anything definitive on Ben Carter. I still don't think that Ben Carter will get a sixth year from the NCAA. I think it's just he played too much last year for UNLV before his first knee injury. That would mean Michigan State has two scholarships left because they've got Jaren Jackson Jr. and Xavier Tillman, and three players that they're heavily chasing. I don't know. I don't know if it influences them one way to say we're not going to get the touches and we want to go elsewhere, or if it says we see this guy as being the catalyst to getting us to that next level, to getting us to the national championship, and then taking our talents to the NBA. I really don't. I mean, it's an interesting dynamic that not many teams have had to deal with in terms of guys coming back, especially when high-end recruits are on the table still. So I think we'll find out probably some of that stuff here in perhaps the coming days, perhaps the coming next few weeks. I think that all three players are in play in terms of Bowen, McCoy, and Smith. It'll be just determination of how they want to approach it.
Chris Solari, Michigan State beat reporter for the Detroit Free Press. I know we're short on time here, Chris, so I want to transition now into the news that you reported earlier this morning concerning a fourth Michigan State University football player under investigation for sexual misconduct. Again, this is a separate investigation from the ongoing investigation involving three players in relation to an incident that allegedly occurred on the morning of January 16th at University Village Apartments. Chris, how did you get this news, and what do we know right now?
The first news was initially broken by Todd Haywood of Lansing City Pulse.
Mm-hmm.
So all credit to him. I've been hearing some rumors of that yesterday, was not able to confirm anything, and partly because it is no longer in the it's not yet in the court system. And in talking to some Meridian Township police supervisor, it does sound like that will happen probably within the coming days. They're trying to get their investigation finalized and get everything. I believe the term I heard was get all our ducks in a row before approaching for charges. But it does sound like that's one thing that they will be doing. They will be seeking charges in this. There's an incident that happened April 9th. They did not reveal where, other than Meridian Township, and that it did involve a Michigan State football player. Beyond that, that's where we're at right now with that. It's a fourth player, and obviously happened after the spring game. So it's not something that is tied to the previous situation that happened in mid-January, January 16th on campus, that involves three football players, and then also the suspension of Curtis Blackwell, which is tied to that. I think that there is obviously some issues there. I mean, when you look at it now, especially coming off that situation, which kept Michigan State in limbo for the entire spring and still is in a limbo situation with no charges in that investigation. And now with this investigation, no charges yet. It sounds like they could be imminent next week. It's certainly not a good situation for Michigan State football, especially with the severity of sexual assault cases around the country in terms of college football, and as well as at Michigan State with the situation ongoing with Larry Nassar. It's another very significant piece, and, you know, take one or two things into account is, you know, when they're all separate, you know, you can say that they're separate, but that when you start getting multipliers, separate things all become interlinked when they are the same charges that are brought. And so it's going to be a very, very trying time for Mark D'Antonio, I'm sure, and very trying time for the players around the program that have not done anything wrong.
For sure. And Chris, before we get you out of here, again, I want to let it be known that the case involving the fourth Michigan State football player remains under review by Ingham County Prosecutor Carol Simon. And we still don't know if Simon will file criminal charges in the January 16th incident. Do you foresee a decision on...
Hang on. The fourth one has not yet made it to the Ingham County Prosecutor.
Okay, it has Okay.
That has not been done yet. That is still at Ingham County, or excuse me, in Meridian Township Police's hands.
Okay.
It's an ongoing investigation, and it will, it's expected to be sometime early next week delivered to the prosecutor.
Okay. Early next week. And as far as a timeline, possibly whether or not Simon will file criminal charges in the January 16th incident, do we foresee that coming down the pike soon here, Chris, or no?
Not within the next few days.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of complexities with that case. They're still being under review by Carol Seaman. So it'll certainly be, as it has been since February, something that we've been keeping an eye on and waiting to see how she approaches it, whether charges will be filed or won't be filed.
Chris Solari of the Detroit Free Press. Chris, thank you so much for your time, my friend. Appreciate it.
You got it, Al. Take care.
All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we've got about 15 minutes left here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. You are listening to Current Sports. When we come back, we will talk about that fourth Michigan State player under investigation for sexual misconduct. What does that now do for the further perception of Mark D'Antonio's program? We'll chat briefly about the NBA playoffs, and we'll take a trip back in time with Throwback Thursday. That and more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Also want to enlighten you all to another big announcement coming down the pike around 6 p.m. in the city of Detroit. The Detroit Lions, folks. The Lions. Yeah, we're talking about NFL football here on April 13th. How about that? The Lions will finally end a long time of speculation about their new uniforms tonight. The Lions will unveil those new threads during a special event with season ticket holders at Ford Field. President Rod Wood, GM Bob Quinn, and head coach Jim Caldwell will begin the night by addressing fans at 6 p.m. during a town hall style Q&A session. And then at roughly 8 p.m., the Lions are expected to reveal their new unis to fans. And that will be streamed live on the team's Facebook page, although the media won't be able to file reports until the end of that event. Very cool stuff. Looking forward to seeing the Lions' new digs. I don't know what kind of color scheme they're going to go with. I don't see anything wrong with the unis they played in, Isaac. I like the black and silver, to be honest. I like the subtle change that they made to the Lion logo. I'm curious to see what they do with these new uniforms.
Hopefully it's nothing too dramatic, because I'm with you. I think they're some of the classier, cleaner looks in the whole NFL. So I'd like to see maybe, I don't know, a little more incorporation of black. I think that's always a good look on unis, especially when you got the light blue and the silver to match it. But Lions really don't need to do anything too crazy. Don't go all Seattle Seahawks and try to modernize it or anything like that. All Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Just keep it classy, keep it Detroit, and keep it simple.
I agree. I like them already. All right, folks, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We have spent much of our hour talking about Miles Bridges, the highly touted freshman star for the Michigan State men's basketball team, announcing that at 6 p.m. outside of the Sparty statue, he will be making some sort of announcement. And all signs point to Bridges acknowledging that he will return for a sophomore campaign with Tom Izzo and company and make a run next season at a possible national championship. You know, it's such an interesting time to be a fan of Michigan State sports, because there's a lot going on when it comes to Michigan State athletics right now. We just finished up a chat with Detroit Free Press writer who covers Michigan State sports, Chris Solari, formerly of the Lansing State Journal. You heard his thoughts on this announcement from Miles Bridges that will be coming down the pike later on this evening. And also talking about a report that broke this morning concerning, yes, a fourth Michigan State University football player who is now under investigation for sexual misconduct. Again, and a big question that I got when I posted this via our Facebook.com/current sports page is whether or not this had anything to do with the January 16th alleged incident concerning three unnamed football players at the University Village Apartments. And again, this is a separate investigation. A fourth player being investigated for criminal sexual misconduct. Again, this incident allegedly took place in Meridian Township. This has not made it to the courts right now. It's still in the wheelhouse of Meridian Township. And not only that, there was also additional Michigan State football news that came down the pike yesterday as Michigan State football head coach Mark D'Antonio held a teleconference with the media. And he was asked whether or not there are additional players other than the 15 who did not dress or play in the spring game, whether or not there are additional players that are either suspended or are no longer a part of the program. And Coach D'Antonio is very honest. He said, quote, "Yes, there has been," end quote. And he termed it a phrase that I've never even heard of when talking about football. But he said they call it redlock. Players have been redlocked. I don't know what redlock means, but I guess it means that certain players have been suspended or booted for certain reasons. I don't know. So there's a lot of drama surrounded around this Michigan State University football program right now. And we are now embarking on a clear cloud over the program. The spring game, it was the spring game. I think Mark D'Antonio and his coaching staff and MSU Athletics as a whole wanted to hold the spring game to try and change the dialogue surrounded around the program due to the sexual assault investigation involving those three unnamed football players as well as an unnamed staff member. But now with this new news that a fourth player from a separate incident is now being investigated for sexual misconduct, along with the fact that besides the 15 who did not dress or play in the spring game, there are others who have been either suspended or no longer with the program, this is now, folks, becoming a toxic dialogue. because of all of these things colliding, all of these negative storylines colliding, centered on this program. And I gotta be honest, when you hear about now a separate, this is a totally separate sexual misconduct investigation from the first one, it looks like there may be a cultural problem when it comes to sexual misconduct within the program. I just have to say that, folks. From a perception standpoint, when you hear about not only the first investigation that we've been chatting about, day in and day out, week in and week out here on Current Sports, but now this incident, which is totally separate, I can't help but think that there is a cultural problem within the program when it comes to that area. No one wants to talk about football anymore. I saw a storyline that also Mark D'Antonio said that Brian Lewerke is the number one quarterback, at least right now. We still have a lot of months before that very first game in September for Michigan State football, but no one even cares about football anymore. I was at the barbershop earlier this morning at 8 a.m., and I was sitting there with my barber along with some others who I had no idea other people get their hair cut that early in the morning. I just did it because I needed to, and that was his only slot. But I'm sitting in the barbershop trying to talk MSU sports and MSU football, and they didn't care about position battles. They didn't care about the spring game. They didn't care about who the number one quarterback is. They wanted to know what I knew when it comes to knowledge of the whole Michigan State sexual assault investigation. That is what the dialogue is like now when it comes to the majority of fans of this program. No one wants to talk football. No one cares about the X's and O's. People want to get to the bottom of these alleged incidences, right? And people have been, to be honest with you, playing the guessing game since the spring game as to who exactly these players are. Because when Michigan State held the spring game, I'm sure there were a lot of fans, as we noted, that were in the stands looking at which names were not present, which names were not dressed, which names were not playing. They know now that out of those 15 players, three of them are involved in that first sexual assault investigation. Reputation for this program is now on the rocks. And that cloud that was over Michigan State football, that cloud just started raining a bit, I must say. It really did. And there's a part of me that feels bad for Coach D'Antonio, because let's keep it real here. It is virtually impossible for you to police everything that how many players are on a college football roster? We know it's a 53-man roster in the NFL. How many players are on a college football roster?
I believe it's about 70, but that's not including all of the different red shirts and walk-ons every single year.
It's more than the NFL. It's about 70.
Oh, much more, I believe.
That's crazy to think that one man who is the head coach of a program in which you are dealing with about 70 players, that one man who is the head coach can police everything that those young men do when they are away from the gridiron. It is mission impossible. But at the same time, when you talk about something as serious as sexual misconduct, as sexual assault, the responsibility does fall on your shoulder a bit because you are the head man in charge of that program. There was clearly a locker room problem this season, and I do believe that in many ways that matriculates to off-the-field mistakes as well. When a team isn't unified, when a team isn't on the same page, things are going to happen. Drama is going to happen. Now, I'm not saying that has a direct line to sexual assault, something as serious as that, but it does disrupt the chemistry, and guys go renegade. They do their own thing, and you don't have everyone on the same page. You have cliques left and right, and that could lead to trouble. It could. And the bigger question here, before we sign off on this Thursday edition of Current Sports, Got to let this be known, too, because it's a topic that I am really going to try and dive in with numerous guests on next week's Current Sports lineup. The problem of domestic violence and sexual assault within the game of football. There is, number one, I believe, a sense of entitlement when it comes to not all athletes, but a lot of athletes on the collegiate level and professional level. There is an ignorance of knowing when to put the testosterone away from the football field. It is a gladiator game. And that leads to the demise of certain players. That is no excuse, though, for that. Also, you know, it's hard for me, you know, when I chat, I'm an old school guy, and I'm very close with my grandparents. I have this conversation with them every time I'm back home on the west side of Detroit. You know, I talk to my grandmother about this a lot because she watches it all. I mean, from Jerry Springer to Maury. She's probably watching Jerry Springer or Maury or something like that right now. She loves to watch drama on television. She watches Love and Hip Hop. And you know, she has a very strong opinion because she's been there and done that. She has seen so much. I mean, she's knocking on the door of her 90s right now, right? And she always talks about how society today glamorizes sex in the media, in music, in television. She talks about how morals have really become a thing of the past. And how many young men are growing up today not knowing how to be chivalrous and treat a woman. That is also a problem in our society that extends beyond the world of sports. Is it fair for coaches to be parents and to have to police that? No. That falls on the responsibility of the parents. But when you have so many broken homes, in many instances, those coaches have to step into that role, whether they like it or not. That's my spiel on that. We'll continue that next week. I'm out on Friday and Monday. Our engineer, Isaac Constance, will be filling in and hosting both of those shows. Thanks so much to our PAs behind the glass, Jacob Herbert for engineering today. I see Austin Short behind there as well. Is Romero in the house as well?
No, we got Zach Manning in today.
Zach Manning is in today. It's hard for me to keep track of all of that, but thanks so much, fellas. I'll see you guys on Tuesday. Isaac, have a great show tomorrow. I'll be reporting, though, even though I'm leaving, I'll be reporting on the Miles Bridges decision or announcement tonight at 6 p.m. It's been a fun week. Great show today. Much thanks to Chris Solari. Same time, same place tomorrow right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. Take care and be easy, people.